Jonah. Today we're in Jonah, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. In other words, we're going to do this book from start to finish. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of a backslidden prophet and the grace of God. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. This is the word of the Lord. This book is the word of the Lord. God's word claims to be God's word. And here it is. God says, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a very evil empire, by the way. It was a great city to the world. It was a wicked city to God. Man judges by appearance, but God judges the heart. And that's why Nineveh is in big trouble. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Jonah hated the cruel Assyrians, like everybody else. And so instead of going to Nineveh, like God said, he went in the opposite direction. Jonah, right now, is as rebellious as the Assyrians. He is as rebellious as the people in Nineveh, because he's disobeying God too. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God hates rebellion, and so he sends a strong storm, which will bring Jonah's rebellion to a screeching halt. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah is sleeping, while all the other sailors are panicking and praying to their nothing gods for help. Jonah is sleeping. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. In other words, Jonah, how can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and start praying. Why aren't you praying? I'll tell you why Jonah wasn't praying. Jonah wasn't praying because God and him were not on speaking terms. And that's one of the problems with sin. Sin makes our prayers useless. If they exist at all, they're useless. 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Casting lots was sort of like drawing straws. God used this system to speak to his people. And God said right here that Jonah is the problem. Jonah's sin is the reason every sailor's life is in danger. Sin does not just affect the sinner. Sin affects everyone around them as well. Verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? I mean, that's five questions fired off like a machine gun. They fire off these five questions without giving the prophet a chance to even answer. And finally, he opens up his mouth in verse 9 and he speaks. He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Jonah says, I fear the Lord. Could have fooled me, Jonah. Maybe Jonah feared the Lord sometimes, but not lately. Lately, he loved himself more than he feared God, and that's why his situation is miserable. 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so Jonah told them all about his disobedience, and how he ran in the opposite direction of God's will. And they can't believe that anyone would be so foolish. They couldn't believe that anybody would be foolish enough to disobey a direct command from Almighty God. But he did. 11. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. In other words, Jonah, you know God. So tell us what he wants us to do. How can we please God and stop this wrath of his? Here's Jonah's answer, verse 12. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Yeah, don't repent, Jonah. Just kill yourself. Isn't that amazing? Jonah could have said, Hey, turn this ship around, so that I can go preach in Nineveh. That'll take care of the problem. I'm disobedient, but I'm going to be obedient. Turn the ship around, I'll go preach in Nineveh. But instead, he says, kill me. He would rather die than give the Assyrians a chance to repent. So I guess you can add the sin of bitterness to Jonah's account also, because this man is very bitter. He doesn't want to see God forgive the Assyrians. 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. If God wanted to kill Jonah, that's his business. But these sailors didn't want to do it. And as a result, they tried to row to land, but they failed. The wind was just too strong. 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us the innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Sailors, they were afraid to throw Jonah overboard, but they were afraid not to throw him overboard too. Consequently, they did what they thought best. They prayed for mercy, and then they threw Jonah overboard. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Well, the sea immediately calmed down when they threw Jonah overboard, and then they really were afraid. They didn't know if they did the right thing or not. But they knew that it wouldn't hurt to humble themselves before the Lord, so that's what they did. And there's a lesson for us there. When in doubt, humble yourself before God. Maybe you don't know everything what to do, right? All the time, but that's, you can never go wrong humbling yourself before God. That's always the best thing to do. 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The belly of a huge fish will not be the most pleasant form of transportation for Jonah, but I think it's about all this backslidden prophet deserves. He could have gone in a boat if he would have obeyed, but instead he's going in a fish. Like it or not, he's going to preach in Nineveh. Verse 2, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, since he figures he's about to die, he decides it probably would be a good time to stop running from God and instead to start praying to God. And so he does. Verse 2, And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The sailors are the ones who threw him overboard, but Jonah was smart enough to know that God allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen to wake him up and to get him to repent. If God cannot get our attention in good times, he will get them in bad times. 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Notice Jonah had hope. After he prayed, he had hope. Verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed in, or closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Can you imagine that? Sitting in the belly of this great fish. Well, panic must have set in. When he found himself inside of this fish, alive, breathing, and yet engulfed with water and seaweed. Panic. I guess. Verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. So he was as close to being dead without being dead that anyone could be. But God saved him. Because it's never too late for God to do something. As long as we're alive, it's never too late for God to help us as long as we're still alive. 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Very important lesson here. Those who reject God and his Son, Jesus Christ, throw away their only hope for mercy. People do not go to hell because God refuses to show mercy. People go to hell because they reject the mercy that God freely offers them. That's why they go to hell. 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Very important statement. Salvation is of the Lord. God is the only one who can save. But God only saves those who really want it. 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God made that fish throw up. And along with everything else, out came Jonah. And probably as white as a sheet from rolling around in all that stomach acid. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Isn't this neat? How God does not hold a grudge. Okay, Jonah was rebellious. Jonah paid for his rebellion. Jonah confessed, he repented, and God just totally forgot about it then. He forgave him, he forgot about it. He doesn't hold a grudge. He didn't even bring up Jonah's past sin. He simply repeated his command to go and preach in Nineveh, start all over again, clean slate. Thank God for clean slates. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. In other words, if you're going to walk around Nineveh, it'd take you 3 days. Big place. Verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh has been given 40 days to make up her mind. They have 40 days to repent or else. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. The word of the Lord, the word of God, scared them, and they repented. And this is Nineveh, an exceedingly wicked city. But the word of God got a hold of them, scared them, and they repented. The word of God should be a scary thing to those who aren't living it. The devil hates God's word because it can scare people out of hell before they can get there. The Word of God works. That's why he keeps preachers from preaching it. That's why the devil doesn't want preachers to preach it straightforward and hard. 9. Who can tell, the king says, if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? Evidently, the Lord God had not given any guarantees to the people of Nineveh. But they knew one thing for sure. If they didn't repent, they were as good as dead. They knew that for sure. 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it, and he did it not. You know why he did it not? It's because God hates to punish sinners. That's why he bent over backwards to give these people an opportunity to repent. That's why he was so adamant in getting Jonah over there with the word of God, because he hates to punish sinners. And it's also why he wants preachers to preach his word straight and hard today. The word of God is the only thing that can convince a sinner to repent. It is the only thing that can save a soul from eternal damnation. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah is very angry, because Nineveh will not be punished. Now, Jonah didn't seem to mind the fact that God showed him mercy when he was in that fish. He didn't mind that mercy. But he is angry that God is going to show mercy to Nineveh. I guess he thought he was better than others. Well, he wasn't. And he was out of line here with that bad attitude of his. But he's ticked in verse 2. It says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah, he's ready to die. He's depressed. He wants to die. You know why he's depressed? It's because he's in rebellion against God. It's because he's sinful and he's selfish. Sin can make a person very depressed. It happened with Cain too. Jonah doesn't care about anyone except himself. No wonder he feels so lousy. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? God says, do you think you have a right to be angry, Jonah? Do you really think you have a right to be angry? Look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah's so angry that he doesn't even answer God. He just leaves. This guy's got a problem. A big problem. 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Notice how great God is. There's God being kind to someone who doesn't deserve his kindness again, and this time it's Jonah, the backslidden prophet. And of course, Jonah, self-centered as he is, doesn't complain about this kindness either. Didn't complain about being delivered from the whale, didn't complain about being forgiven, doesn't complain about this act of kindness here, because it involves him. 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah's angry. Very angry because he's uncomfortable, see. He's angry because God killed that plant that was giving him shade. He is angry because he's uncomfortable. Jonah only respects God when it's within his comfort zone. See? And he only obeys God when it fits his comfort zone. You get him out of his comfort zone, and he gets angry at God, and he doesn't obey God, and he doesn't show any respect to God. 10. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God really rebukes Jonah here, because he cared more about that plant than he did about the souls of men. He cared more about his own comfort than he did about the lost souls who were on the edge of hell. And I'm afraid that many Christians today invest a lot more of their time and a lot more of their money in their own comfort than in what God wants. They're no different than Jonah. Self-centered, materialistic Christians who are more concerned with their own interests than with God's interests are just as rebellious as Jonah. No different than him. Look at this guy. Jonah only respected God and only obeyed God when it fit his comfort zone. As soon as it got out of that, forget it. And there are a lot of Christians who are just like Jonah, and it ought not be that way. Thanks for joining me. See you next time on Scripture Verse by Verse. Until then, Michael Moret. So long, everyone.